Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to 3RingRadio.com. With Shane, you better stay tuned.
Shane Bugby for Michael Hunt Publishing, www.evilnow.com. He came on our show to promote some of his products. He did, like, the Dana Plato CD, Dana Plato's Final Breath, the Hitler CDs, and
Jim Jones CD, the Aleister Crowley CD. He's got the Pentagram pint glasses. He's got a whole bunch of stuff.
Satanic kitchenware. But he flew in to do our radio show in L.A., and we hung out with the guy. We put him up in the Boone compound for a couple of days, and we just started drinking and saying, hey, man, let's take this crap on the road.
This is Shane Bugby, the whole master behind this angry white male tour. Yeah. This is my first time meeting this guy, but I feel like I'm with family.
Why can't you now say, I'll take your pictures off of my website?
A show every parent should see before your child logs on.
Meet a man who has sunk to a new low.
I have every right to do what I'm doing.
This is who you need to guard your kids against. Become educated on how to protect your children from being victimized on the internet.
Tomorrow on Queen Latifah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Coming up next, we're going to meet Shane, the creator of the website.
Hi, this is Ben of Penn and Teller. You're listening to 3 Ring Radio, but I've been known to lie.
Call me Adam.
Okay. Okay, so we're just gonna start taping here. Oh damn, wow, now this is creepy. I can't find the Death Cult book. It was just in front of me. Okay. Well, it's gone. Okay, here it is. You know, I would have really liked to taken a highlighter to this book when I... Okay, so I have on the this is 3 Ring Radio, and I have on Adam Golightly. Is that pronounced correct?
You are correct, sir.
And you're the author of Death Cults.
Yes.
A book that's put out by Syphilis Press, so you can go pick that up at wingtv.net. Or what's your website?
My website is www.mansonmythos.com, and we have a link to the Death Cult books there. I started that Manson Mythos website originally to promote a book I wrote a few years ago called The Shadow Over Santa Susana, Black Magic, Mind Control, and the Manson Family Mythos. And today happens to be the 35th anniversary of the Manson murders.
Exactly.
Aware of that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm very aware of that. And that's why I was excited to call you today. You know, I'm all into the anniversary stuff. So that book is 2 years old. I thought it was a new release.
The Manson book?
Uh-huh.
That came out in October of 2001.
Ah, I was going to try to contact your publishers to get a copy so I could talk to you again after I read it.
Yeah, I'll get you one.
Oh, cool. Cool, man. So I haven't read that book, and I do have questions about it. Mm-hmm. But I guess my research has led me to you. My research is research on the Process Church.
Yeah.
And me and a friend of mine, an associate, Doug... I have to go by his pen name, don't I? Doug Mesner.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing research, and he came down from Detroit, and we called some people, and we're very interested in the process. It seems like a lot of hype. I guess Doug calls it as like the satanic panic that is mm-hmm. tied into the Process Church. And as we first looked at it, it looked like they were just harmless folks with, they're wearing the capes and cool jewelry,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And so we don't see a lot of, so far, a lot of waiting and stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know recently Doug had interviewed someone that T.P. McKinney had quoted, and the person that T.P. McKinney had quoted had said that was a lie, and he never said that. So it's, we look into this stuff, and if we can find anything anywhere, the people they say that's not true. What was they're quoted as saying? It seems like the rest of the leads on the Process stuff lead to dead ends. So,
mm-hmm.
how the stuff you have in death cults, how does it hold any weight to the rest of these theories and stuff? I mean, are there solid leads? Did you do a lot of research into this stuff?
You know, what I did, a lot of the material from death cults came from the Manson book, Victor Thorne there at Sisyphus Press contacted me a few months ago and wanted to do, he has a series of chat books, and he wanted to do one on the process, so I agreed to it and pulled out the material from the Manson book and added a few things. Anyway, that was kind of the genesis of that. A lot of this material is in the Manson book, and with the Manson family book, a little background on that.
Now, you're talking about the Ed Sanders book or your book?
My book, The Shadow Over Santa.
Okay, okay.
A little background on that. For years, I heard rumors, various conspiracy theories, that the Manson family were the project of some kind of mind control experiment. So anyway, that started my whole research into that, and it evolved into like a 600-page book, which is really I've been told, the most comprehensive book on the subject. So I, started looking into all these various theories and rumors, and one of them was this connection with the Process Church. And while, I didn't find any smoking guns or conclusive evidence, there seemed to be a lot of parallels between the Manson family and the Process. People have claimed over the years that they actually did have contact with each other, both of those groups. I think Patricia Krenwinkel, if I'm not wrong about this, I believe she stated at one time that Charlie and the family met Process members at the notorious Spiral Staircase house in Malibu, where a lot of strange things were supposedly going on. But and there's also there was contacts. The Process first came to the U.S. in 67 or so, and ended up living on the same street, Cole Street, there in the Haight-Ashbury at the same period the Manson, Charlie got out of prison, and the Manson family lived there. And so,
you know what, you're right about all the parallels. That's what, has made me, the scales, when we're doing our research, have tipped to be even, and I don't know who to believe anymore.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you something. What's your religious persuasion?
Born again agnostic? No, I would say, it's hard to classify. I believe in some type of ultimate power, but more of a an energy running through the planet and through the cosmos that you can tap into it and use.
Right on. So you have your own set of beliefs.
Yeah. Channel it positively or negatively, but
I talked to a gentleman, William H. Kennedy. Are you familiar with him?
That name rings a bell. Yeah.
He did a book called Lucifer's Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with him last night, as a matter of fact, for another Three Ring Radio show that'll be on, I believe, before yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a real problem with his you know, he was a Catholic and really pushing this Catholic stuff down my throat in his book, and it very much bothers me.
Yeah.
It seems like a biased place to start your writing from.
Right. I have, you know, I had no agenda going into all of this, and,
yeah, well, when I look at death cults, when you say there's parallels, man, are there, and that's what really, when I look at your book, yours, it has been the most, I can't say convincing, because I'm still not convinced of any of it, but you're...
Where am I?
Well, right on, good.
Yeah.
So you have no definitive answers for the process, the processing and the weird parallels? And
yeah, no, that bothers a lot of people, you know, with the Manson book. Not, I didn't come up with any conclusive answers. I let the reader, you know, go through all that information and judge it for what it is, you know, and if they're really interested in the subject, they can follow a lot of those leads farther. My latest book is on Kerry Thornley, and it has to do with the Kennedy assassination. I went on a book tour recently, and a lot of people asking me, okay, well, who was behind the Kennedy assassination? I tried to explain to them that, you know, I've looked into this stuff for years, and it's like an onion. You keep going back layers upon layers, and there's a lot of disinformation and red herrings out there. And, you know, it'd be pretty presumptuous to me to come up with a theory. There's, you know,
well, it would take you a lot of time and effort and research and work. And that's what, you know, I want to stick on the process book and the Manson book, and we'll talk about your Kennedy book in a little bit.
Sure.
But what you say is true, and that's what we're trying to do, me and Doug, with this process book. We want to come up with, we want to break a story here or not, but we want to definitely research every lead that every person has put out there.
Yeah, key to that is what the process is doing now.
Best friends. We spoke with Michael Mountain a couple days ago.
Oh, excellent.
And he further tipped the scales in the favor of the conspiracy rather than in the favor of
really?
The process. Yes.
Well, God, I want to hear about that.
Well, he's just a huckster. He's a, you know, like I told Mr. Kennedy with his book, he's just a, you know, he's a clown in the circus, you know, juggling for pennies. He's selling books, and, you know, he didn't do much research. He doesn't break a story. There's nothing there but newspaper articles.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mr. Mountain, he spoke with my comrade in the book, and I got to hear the tape, and it really just, he crafts it perfect. He says he's only has 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and he says more and more about less and less. You know, he's a very crafty person. He won't give us the access we need, and right away when we brought up T.P. McKinney, he said, oh, if you're going to go there, you know, that's, you know, he didn't really want to talk about it. He did, but, he said it was a waste of everyone's time. And
now, I'm not familiar with T.P. McKinney.
T.P. McKinney is the person who brought out the fact that the Best Friends Network was tied into the Process Church.
Okay.
This person also was the person that motivated... Did you see the article in the Rocky Mountain News?
Yes.
Okay, she's the person that motivated that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my feelings almost are that T.P. McKinney is like Marianne de Grimston or whatever. I think they're just creating this. I think they're creating all the spotlight to the Best Friends Network practically at this point to get some attention.
Hmm.
I really think they're trying to bring this out in the open.
Do we know what's up with Marianne de Grimston these days? Is she living and working out of that compound in rehab?
She is there. When we asked Michael de Grimston the last time he had spoke with Marianne, he was very roundabout. Well, you don't see Marianne that much, but she's here being taken care of. And I know, you know, the reports are through T.P. McKinney's articles and some other, some people say first-hand witnesses, but I'm skeptical of them. They say that they drive up to the compound and they'd be met with armed guards mm-hmm. anywhere Marianne.
Well, I've heard those rumors as well. Did your cohort there actually go on to the compound?
No, we were almost invited. We talked to Timothy Wiley.
Oh, okay. I was going to mention he'd be a good person to interview.
Now, he's been very forthcoming with information.
Uh-huh.
Very much so. We've been surprised at some of the stuff he's told us.
Yeah.
Which we're going to air on the Three Ring Radio, and I don't want to let too much of the cat out of the bag. But he's the only person that's given us information. We talked to, we also talked to the head of the science, I forget his name now. Big deal in the process, though. What's the gentleman who's moved on to be the head of some science organization for the government?
Oh,
I'm so bad with names. See,
right.
This is bad. See,
I know who you're talking.
I may be affected by MKUltra, and I don't know it. I'm now after death cults. I do stay away from polka dot addresses.
Yeah,
but I forget the guy. Well, I sound great here, don't I? You know that dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, we spoke with him, but he wants to remain off record. But Timothy Wiley gave us a lot of information, and he seems like a solid individual.
Yeah, I didn't do any legwork really on, you know, when I looked into it. I just went through all the material I could find, you know. Well, it started with Ed Sanders' book, you know, and, you know, the original first edition, subsequent editions, of course, had that material pulled from it when the process had the lawsuit against him. So, you know, that started my interest, and you had Maury Terry's book, and...
But doesn't that drive you right to the process, when that information's pulled out of a book?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
See, this is why I think this is all by design. They
promote themselves?
Yeah. I mean, let's just look to Hollywood. Let's look to the basic things that drive the cattle of this country. Mm-hmm. Pam Anderson puts out a porno tape on accident. All of a sudden, her career is reinvented. Her career is bigger than ever.
Yeah.
Controversy really sells. The public embraces controversy. Bill Clinton was never more popular when he got caught for getting a blowjob, and people really, you know, really had a subject to go after. And I think at some point, you know, these distractions, like the OJ trial, was distracting us from other things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
These great controversies they put out there. Mm-hmm. It's like the criminals that I know or flock with. So, you know, you always know they admit to the lesser.
Right.
They're not gonna admit to bludgeoning the lady in her bedroom while she slept. That's not gonna happen. I did drive the getaway car, but I didn't have anything to do with the rest of it.
I mean, how innocuous, you know, Bill Clinton's blowjob, what, you know, was really going on behind the scenes, you know, pills to that, but yeah, it's smoke screen for other things going on.
Yeah, right, and that's what I'm saying. This just looks like, because they're occult or something weird like that, because they're of that weird entity, people really want to believe in this boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is by design. Now that I look into it and the research is leading me to think that all of this stuff is like everyone's a pawn in their game. They're too smart. They're just too smart to have not changed the corporate name. They're just too smart for these things. And like you just said, they brought forward that lawsuit to bring attention to their cause.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the worst that's going to happen with Best Friends Network now? Nothing's happened because of that article. No one cares. Their donations are up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's what... I don't... Maybe I'm crazy. I'm sure. But, so you're saying you haven't done any big footwork into this stuff, but you did...
No, and if you're going to commit to something, man, I... You know, not to swerve away from the process here, but... my latest book, and we can get into it later. You know, once you commit to doing, really researching something thoroughly and interviewing everybody you can, that, you know, turns into a huge project. If I would have taken that tack with looking into the process, you know, I'd probably still be, that's all I'd be doing for a couple of years, you know.
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't decide to go down that path.
We did get the gentleman, Dr. Hammond, on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
All for
okay.
about...
Oh, yeah, the... right.
And what he wrote the... you talk about it in your... In
yeah.
the Death Cults. What did he write? What was the name of the...
Well, he's the...
Actual...
He gave... It's known as the Greenbaum speech.
Right. There you
and
go.
And he delivered that at some conference over 10 years ago or so, and he was addressing the whole MK Ultra and Monarch mind control, and he mentioned the Process Church in that famous speech.
Right, you know, we spoke with him for all of 1 minute. He spoke with us telling us he doesn't want to speak about things, but he did call us back.
Uh-huh.
But he has no interest in talking about this, and he says that was his past.
Yeah, he's removed himself from that whole arena.
Why? Why would he?
Maybe he's scared. Maybe somebody threatened him, you know. Or maybe it was such a backlash to his own practice that he maybe suffered financially, or who knows.
Right.
You know, a controversial subject like that.
Sure. You know, some of the interesting stuff in your book, the parallels that spooked me out are like, you know, Manson living on the same block,
mm-hmm.
and Hustle the same people.
Yeah.
So you know they met up somewhere. They rubbed elbows. You know, they did.
I don't see how they couldn't have.
Right. But now the funny part is, who's the gentleman with the black Mercedes? His name escapes me.
Okay.
MK Ultra King.
Yeah. In The Ultimate Evil, he's referred to as Chris Jets, but his actual name, and I don't know why Maury Terry used the pseudonym, but his actual name is Ronald Stark.
Right, Ronald Stark, and that's the funnier part of the book, or your Death Cults, of seeing Manson driving around in the black Mercedes.
You found that humorous.
Well, I did. I mean, the guy's going to borrow this crazy guy his Mercedes and get tied. You know, he's a government agent, but just he needed a pack of smokes so bad. Manson, just get me a pack of smokes, you know. Throws him the keys. I just don't, that was the funnier one. You know,
I don't know how much merit to put into that, because you know, some of that information came from Maury Terry, and I looked into it, you know, and discovered the individual he was referring to as Jets was this Ronald Stark guy, and, boy, if he and Manson did actually meet, that's an eyebrow raiser, because, you know, Stark was heavily into the LSD underground, producing it, and also all these alleged ties he had with the, intelligence agencies. It's pretty curious.
For sure, but that's the one thing I wonder about is Maury Terry. Have you ever spoke with Mr. Terry?
No, and he's resurfaced recently.
Right.
He's been interviewed talking about he's still going on that, you know, the process or organization has been intact all these years and involved in, the Son of Sam murders and a lot of nefarious activities. And he says they're still active in all that and, you know, working out of their compound there in Utah.
You know, that, and it's interesting, Dateline. He was recently on Dateline with that.
Yeah.
And I did see that. And the funny part of it was, Dateline wouldn't say the process.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't name anything. And they said, you can go on the internet and find out more. And so...
He also did a...
That to me makes me seem like, hey, you know what? It was just run through the corporation. The corporation that runs the media. And if they can't find a way to mention the process and the ties of Son of Sam...
Yeah.
Man, Maury Terry, I wonder what kind of thin evidence you have. Because I've been involved in shows like that, and they run it through a building full of lawyers.
Yeah.
They rip those shows apart, man. If there's anything they can't mention, they don't. And when Maury Terry's put on a national forum like that, his stuff, it seems to be thin.
Yes, it does. I agree. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't want to take it away from him because it seems like he's dedicated his whole life to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it seems, you know, like he, you know, there's something there for him at least.
Yeah.
But that I'm sorry.
Well, you wonder how much of this, you know, is misinformation that he's being fed. What's the ultimate design behind all of this? It seems like, you know, there's something really compelling about all this stuff, but you got to separate the wheat from chaff to ever figure out, you know, it's like the... Like I was talking about the Kennedy assassination, there seems to be something to what Maury Terry and Ed Sanders were talking about, but, you know, 50% of it seems to be, at least 50% seems to be this, you know, a lot of happy horse shit.
Yeah, it seemed like the Ed Sanders stuff, when I read it, it seems to be solid stuff from a solid individual.
Well, some of his sources, one guy called... called himself White Rabbit is pretty much a, he's been shown to, that he's lied about a lot of things.
Who Ed Sanders has?
His source known as White Rabbit.
Mm.
So Sanders had some dubious sources as well.
Mm.
And he doesn't really, except for White Rabbit, you know, in regards to all the process allegations, he doesn't really name his source, or he refers to them as unnamed sources.
You got to wonder why the process decided to sue someone like Ed Sanders, but not someone like Maury Terry.
Yeah, I believe Sanders is sincere, you know.
And you believe Maury Terry isn't?
I wouldn't say... Maury Terry's, I would say he's sincere as well. I think some of their sources, though, have led them sketchy path.
Exactly. You know, you think someone like Maury Terry, after all these years, would have so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he resurfaces, but why? Because he didn't really have any new information.
And he's resurfacing because they're going to put out a, you know, updated version of the Ultimate Evil.
Right. But that's
so
it.
He has a lot to benefit from that.
But is it updated?
It's going to be updated, I believe. He's updated it a couple times over the years, or at least once. And supposedly this new version, I believe he said, was going to be updated.
Hmm. Well,
they'll repackage it again and trot all this stuff out. You know, who knows how much new information. They'll have the stuff in there about, you know, the compound in Utah and, you know, enough to say it's the updated version.
Yeah, I wonder about this. Well, I can't wait. So what do you think with the whole process thing? We could wrap that up with, what do you have? What are your observations, and what do you think are the most important things for us to research?
Well, looking, you know, to the Manson process connections, see if there's anything really there, if we can pinpoint that they actually met. You know, I've heard a lot of rumors that they did, but boy, it'd be great to place Manson and de Grimston together. Charlie said at one time when Bugliosi asked him about de Grimston, you know, if they knew each other, Manson said, "He and I are one and the same."
Yeah, but Charlie was all about fuckery. He was all about fucking with people, man. He'd say what you wanted to hear. He'd say shit. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not.
So, you know, when Charlie's, people keep quoting that from Charlie, I go, yeah. And it sounds like he knew what he was doing when he said it.
Yeah.
Because people, he's got so many sound bites. The man was, I love Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is awesome. You know, I really admire the man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, and because of his media manipulation alone,
Yeah. He knew how to soundbite. He knew how to give us those things in soundbites and quotes where you people can just keep quoting that guy.
Yeah.
For everything there is, he has a quote that fits.
Yep.
He really has written what I think, and I have been working on this on the side, is I'm trying to make a greeting card company.
Mm-hmm.
All with Charlie Sayings in there, though. Because he really has made this whole industry of, like, as far as I'm concerned with his quotes, bumper stickers, you know, greeting cards. You could really go a long way with Charlie quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares, man? I mean, Charlie said that to Bugliosi. That means what? Nothing.
That's true.
But thank you. Well, that's what I thought. I mean, it doesn't mean much. You know, what did Bugliosi do? He didn't do his job and research it. He just says that.
No.
That's why I want to try to get a hold of Bugliosi. So why didn't you do your job and research that more, man? Because if these people in the process are monsters, like people say they are, why are they escaping jail time?
Yeah. No, he didn't follow up on any of that. You know, there's just a brief mention there in Helter Skelter, and of course he uses that famous Charlie quote in his book. Things to follow up on, the illustrator of the chapbook, are you familiar with Robert Taylor?
No, but the chapbook is Death Cults, and that's, you can pick that up at, where is that at, sir, wintv.net?
Yeah, there, and at my website, and
MansonMythos?
Yeah.
.com?
Yep.
And I'm on the phone with Adam Gorightly.
And Robert Taylor, he's a pretty interesting gentleman. He played in a band that was, I believe it was in Chicago. They were a process house band. They played at one of their little clubs or coffee house, whatever they had at that time. And so he knew, he had some connections with the process and wrote a few articles. You familiar with Esoterra magazine?
Sure.
He wrote a series of articles, you know, delving into the Manson process, OTO connections. And Robert also, curiously enough, was the illustrator for the death issue of the Process magazine that Charlie had that essay in.
So is he a Processian?
No, he isn't, but he was there on the fringes of that scene, and he says some curious things about the process, having, you know, first-hand knowledge of some of the members. He felt that something strange was going on with them as well. He has no smoking gun, but he also told me that with this compound in Utah, he thinks some quote-unquote dastardly things are going on with using the that the group is sort of like psychic vampires, using the energy of the animals there. So you can take that for what it's worth. But it'd be worthwhile for you, I think, to contact Robert.
You like that train that passed
by?
You like that? Yeah. Good for a radio show. I have to explain these trains that go by. Okay, yeah. But I did want to talk to him. Where's he located at?
He's back east somewhere.
Oh, just, too bad.
His Webster, his email address is there in the Death Cult.
Does he have a website?
I don't believe so. He's involved. You know Michael Moynihan?
Yes.
I figured you would.
I don't know him necessarily.
Yeah, Moynihan's produced a couple records by, or CDs, of Robert. He's also a musician, has a group called Changes that produces kind of, I guess you could classify it best by calling it apocalyptic folk rock.
So what's this gentleman's full name again?
Robert Taylor.
So people can look him up online there.
Or R.N. Taylor.
Cool, man. So that's it with the process, really.
Okay.
I mean, I'm asking you. That's it, really. I mean, anything else interesting that maybe isn't in Death Cults, maybe that you're hiding away, or you just found out about it and you didn't make the printer?
No, I pulled out the...
Isn't it true you're processing and you're just promoting this agenda?
No comment.
What?
No comment.
Oh. Are you?
No comment, huh?
That's it.
See?
We're done with the process.
Oh, wow, this is good.
Hey, if I think of, I'll think of more people to contact, and I'll send you an email on that.
Right on, now about Manson. Uh-huh. Just Manson, pure Manson, you know. What can you tell me? What's your most... You have this great book. Give me, since I haven't read the book, but I'm really interested in it, give me, you know, like a bird's eye view of this book that you wrote.
Like I said, it started out...
And what's the title's Manson Mythos.
The title actually is, it's a mouthful. It's The Shadow Over Santa Susana, Black Magic, Mind Control, and the Manson Family Mythos. And in it, I looked, like I said, the research started because I'd heard all these rumors over the years about various conspiracies that the Manson family were allegedly involved in. So that's how I began the journey, looking to see if there was any merit into any of those, you know. And at one point it became obvious, you know, to put everything in context, I really needed to do a comprehensive book, taking all the materials out there on the Manson family and show the whole history of Charlie and his group. So that's what I did with the book. And there's a lot there.
How many? Now, this is over 400 page book, did you tell me?
Almost 600.
600 pages on Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And, you know, go into, I got some of the reviews on my website, or go into Amazon, kind of get an idea. It's one-stop shopping if somebody wanted to get the story of the Manson family. I've, pulled in all the major sources there. So, that's what a lot of the reviewers said. If you want to start with one book, mine is the best one to read.
Well, there's a nice ad for you. But what does the family think of it? Has anyone from the Manson family contacted you during or after the book?
I've had contacts with at least one member, and I don't know if she ever read the darn thing, and I'm not exactly sure she...
Who, Blue?
No. I tried to contact Sandra Good and George Stimson, I believe is her whatever paramour boyfriend or cohort in their activities for ATWA, Charlie's organization, and they never returned my advances, so who knows. Then around the time my book came out, they kind of dropped off the map. They took their website offline, I guess because, at least they said, Charlie requested it. I have been in contact say her name, another Manson family member.
Why?
Member and,
why not say her name?
Okay. Let me pull out the book.
Why, though? Why'd you say not say... Why don't
because,
you...
Because I couldn't think of it.
Ah, okay.
It's been a few years since I was really...
Well, that's fine. I just thought, hey, that's good, man. We're on the same level. I think...
No, I can't mention her name because she's a process member now.
I knew it, you SOB.
God dang.
That's
there's so many names, and
I take it you indulge in smoking marijuana.
In my wayward youth.
Yeah, because it's sort of taken away my short-term memory, or maybe the MKUltra people got a hold of it.
Let's see.
I'm not sure which.
What I have in the back of it was probably MKUltra. What I have in the back of my book is an appendix called The Who's Who of the Manson Family. And it probably has
Dude, I need to get this book, and I need to talk to you again.
And there's about 50 people in here, and one of them looks a hell of a lot like Kramer on Seinfeld.
I love Seinfeld.
Bill Vance. Okay.
Now that's a great. Now there's a great chat book for Victor Thorne. How the people from Seinfeld are tied into Manson and the Process Church.
Sue Bartel was the lady I was talking to, and she didn't. This was on a chat group, and kind of figured out who it was after a while. She'd been dropping hints and did a little research into it, but you know, I don't know how many of the a lot of the X family members are really interested in reading any books that come out on the family, except maybe you mentioned Sandra Good, you know, because she's such a defender of Charlie, to look at what's coming out new, so you know she'll be able to critique the book and call bullshit on it, which she usually does.
Yeah, well, they're also not doing anything about it. I had been in contact with Blue a handful of times.
Yeah.
But they're too hard to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to quit being so trippy. I have to believe the acid might have been government acid, the way that they are so tripped out.
Well, that's what, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theories about a mind control experiment originally came from a conspiracy researcher named Mabe Russell, as well as John Judge is another one. He was claiming that it was MK Ultra, CIA, whatever acid that the family was supplied with.
And that's in Death Cults as well, isn't it?
I don't know for sure. It's definitely in the Manson book. No, that's in Death Cults now.
So, as you go through all the research you did on the Manson stuff to make this so complete,
mm-hmm.
Give me some of the more the funnier or the more way out conspiracies attached to Charlie.
Oh, boy, there's just a...
You know, the really wacky ones.
That,
Because, I mean, Death Cults, the book you have out, the one that I have read and I keep going back to, that has some really scary,
mm-hmm.
Some scary facts in there. But now, what are the funny ones?
There's probably a lot of, funny stuff in there that'll make you chuckle. For me to think, what was funny in the book, or you mean funny strange, or funny haha?
Both. Just some of the, I guess, a funny haha, like just really funny things you stumbled across. Because Manson seemed to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. The family has a good sense of humor. I have a good chuckle watching some of the old videos and stuff like that. You know.
You know, just. You look at Manson, is almost a poet, you know, how he used the...
Well, he is a poet.
...language. It's kind of like a hillbilly acid head mix of whatever, poetry, you know. He's supposedly illiterate, but again, that might just be a smokescreen he uses to not let people... not let on how intelligent he really is.
Well, it being illiterate and being smarter or dumb are two different things, really. A lot of illiterate people are just not really obedient people.
Well, he's claimed to be illiterate in the past, but I don't believe that, because he had, like I said, I think he used that as a tool to his advantage sometime, but... I don't think he's illiterate, because you look at some of the stuff he referred to in the early days. The family was heavily into the Heinlein book, you know, Stranger in a Strange Land, and they used a lot of the terms in their everyday language from that book.
The family?
Mm-hmm.
And what book is this?
Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein.
So this is good. I'd like to hear some of the family's inspirations. And this is, what is the book's name again?
Stranger
Stranger in a Strange Land. My gosh, you haven't read that?
No.
Oh, it's classic science fiction book.
Tell me more.
About inspirations.
Yeah, family inspirations. That sounds cool. I gotta check out this book. So it's a sci-fi book.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Came out in the early '60s. It was a big influence to King Kesey and his pranksters as well. Other sources of inspiration for the family. You know, you have to list Scientology. Before Charlie got released from Terminal Island Prison, in 67, in the early 60s, he had been part of a in-house or in-prison Scientology group ran by a guy named Lanier Rainier, and during that period, Charlie claims that he reached the highest level of Scientology, which is a clear, which interestingly enough, and I probably talk about this in Death Cult.
Right, Robert de Gribson had been rumored to have reached that level.
So when Charlie got out, he went to the Scientology headquarters in Los Angeles and walked up to the receptionist and asked, what's beyond clear? Where do I go after clear? And they had no answer for him, so he just walked out and went about his business. He was heavily a student into hypnotism. Apparently he learned some things about hypnotism. Also while in prison, he was a student in prison of Alvin Creepy Karpus, who was part of the Ma Barker gang.
Right.
Public enemy number one. Taught Charlie to play guitar, or at least showed him some licks. And so there was his breeding ground, His school was the prison. He spent a lot of his early years either in reform schools or in prison. And
right.
Most of his life has been in prison.
Any other good inspirations or influences on the Manson family?
Let's see.
Those are good ones, though. That's solid stuff. That builds a solid foundation of lunacy.
Oh, yeah. My book is just filled with that kind of stuff. And, boy, I haven't, it's been so long since I really been interviewed, a couple of years on the Manson stuff that it's not really fresh in my mind.
We've got probably, 5 minutes left, and I want to have you on again after I get your books in my hand.
Yeah, I'll send you the Manson book and also my...
Your newest book is...
The Prankster and the Conspiracy, the story of Cary Thornley and how he met Oswald and inspired the counterculture.
Excellent. I want to talk to you about that next time. That's something. And now, is the process mentioned in that at all? Because you do mention the process being involved with the Robert Kennedy assassination.
Actually, they are briefly mentioned in this book.
I'm sure. They must. And how do you mention them in this book?
Well, Cary Thornley, who is the star of the story, and I don't know if you have any clue who he was.
A little after looking at your website, he's a gentleman who had met Oswald at one time, or was in the military with him?
That's one piece of the story. Anyway, he had some meetings with the process when they were in New Orleans, and, no great story... I don't have any great story about his interactions with them, but there is that connection there.
So you didn't get any good satanic ritual sex out of it or anything?
No, that's always fun. Hey, you're going to be interviewing, I'm swerving off topic here, Jim Van Bever?
Yeah, man.
Have you seen his movie?
I have not.
I have seen it. It's been circulating for years, and I don't know how much work he's done on it in recent years, but, it's been on the
Bootleg Underground.
What was the name of that last book you just spoke about?
The Prankster and the Conspiracy.
Are you going to come back out after I get these books and talk to me more about this stuff?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. So your webpage is mansonmythos.com.
That's right.
Excellent. So back to Jim Van Beebles, did you say his name is?
Well, how do you pronounce
Bebbles? I don't know. You know, I'm going to ask him when I get him on the phone.
I believe it's Van Bever, and his movie is great stuff.
So you like it. You've seen it on the underground bootleg circuit.
I wrote a review of it. I'm trying to think if it's probably... Blah, 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 blah. I'll get on my... might be on my website.
He's going to be on next week.
That's great.
Any questions for him?
Boy, you should try to see the movie before you interview him, if that's possible.
Well, it might not be.
Yeah.
Just because of that, but that's okay.
There's some great scenes in that. It's kind of a, in a sense, a B movie just because of the shoestring budget he was working on.
Right.
But he's a really talented artist. There's one scene in that movie where it's like a ritualistic, sex-crazy, satanic orgy type thing going around a bonfire with horns on Charlie's head, and it's something straight out of some of the weirder pages of Ed Sanders' The Family, and, you know, he just... Cool scene there. And
so any questions for him?
If I think of some, I'll email you. I don't have anything specific.
Is this better than Helter Skelter 2005?
Oh, God. I watched maybe 5 minutes of that, and that's all I could stomach.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
I watched the whole thing. I thought it was bad. I'm just saying 5 minutes. You know, I anything Charlie, I'll take.
Well, maybe 15 minutes. I was just disappointed from what I saw. You know, God, you could do such a great movie. I think Van Bever's is the best so far. The weakness in the Van Bever movie was the guy playing Manson. I think he did a better job in this latest made-for-TV thing. But
he did?
In the Van Bever movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't all impressed with the... I mean, I watched... A few, I flipped back and forth and saw a few things, and every time I think I videotaped it, that I couldn't stomach much of it, just a lot of the inaccuracies. I thought...
Are you talking about the Van Bever's movie?
No, this latest made-for-TV Helter.
Okay, so the Van Bever's movie, you didn't like the Manson as much?
Once again, the portrayal of Manson was weak, and I thought Van Bever's movie, I thought it... The guy he had playing Manson was better than the Manson in the latest version of Helter Skelter. The best portrayal of Manson, in my opinion, was the original Helter Skelter back in the mid-70s with Steve Railsback.
Yeah, that was great.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, I watched the original Helter Skelter after we watched the 2005 one, the new DVD with the expanded footage.
Uh-huh.
And the expanded stuff is just like the Bugliosi scenes they cut out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of him walking and talking and theorizing and stuff, so it was interesting. But yeah, that was... Railsback is great, though. He made the Gene video DVD, mm-hmm. The only thing worth watching on that.
You know, and I'd been contacted and actually signed a contract to option the rights to my Manson book about a year ago to the same company, Angry Productions, that produced the Ed Gein thing with Steve Railsback.
Did they produce all the rest of that garbage?
They do a bunch of serial killer movies, and I actually haven't seen any of it.
Dude, don't sign with them. Oh, God, they're the worst.
Well,
that Ed Gein one was the only thing that was okay. They have literally destroyed that whole market, man. I mean, they're just...
Yeah.
Their movies are god-awful.
I signed the contract, but they never got back to me, so I think they let it die.
Well, hopefully they did, because they suck. No offense, but their movies are just... Believe me, Gein was great, and that was it. That's where it stops. Railsback was great. Gein was okay. But the rest of those movies sucked. And Gein wasn't that great. You know, but Railsback carried it. Listen, we're out of time, man.
Okay, great.
Now, how can I listen to your program? Are you on Radio Free Satan?
Unfortunately. No, they're cool. I'm on a good handful of stations. Lover, Radio Free Satan, Tap Out Radio. They're all listed on 3ringradio.com.
Okay.
Okay, and let's give you a plug real quick here before we sign off. MansonMythos.com.
That's my website. And
the chat.
Buy all three of my books there, The Shadow Over Santa Susana, Black Magic Mind Control, and the Manson Family Mythos, as well as Death Cults, and my latest and greatest, The Prankster and the Conspiracy.
I can definitely vouch for Death Cults. I liked it because it was pure information that you found, and you gave your resources, and it was solid. It wasn't opinionated. You put it out there, and I really do enjoy that you let the reader decide.
Great.
I think that's how this kind of material should be presented, unless you're going to spend, like we talked about, years and years researching.
Well, I'm curious to see what you come up with your project. You've been talking to Victor Thorne?
I have. You know what? We're going to sign off. Victor Thorne, see you later, everybody. 3ringradio.com.
Okay.
Believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
I never told anybody to do anything other than what they wanted to do.
And if they wanted to do murder, that was okay with you?
That was none of my business, woman. I'm a convict. I'm an outlaw. I'm a rebel. I'm not a Sunday school teacher.
Charles Manson, now 59 years old, still wearing the swastika of defiance.
We played a lot of music. We did a lot of things, but we lived today. We lived in the day and the now.
Liberate yourself. Lose yourself in Charlie.
It was so wonderful that it scared us.
Isn't that what women do? Isn't that what women's for? Women receive men and reflect men. Man hold dominion up over woman. It's been that way since we grunted and we came out of caves.
You had them thinking you were Jesus Christ. Really? How did you do that?
Just being myself. All men are Jesus Christ.
Sometimes he would reenact the crucifixion when we were on LSD. And it was very realistic.
And he said, how do we do it? I said, don't ask me how to do it. I don't want to be no part of no conspiracy. But however you do it and get it done now. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. Do it. Get it done.
And these were people that you had talked about, Helter Skelter. You had talked about bringing the vengeance of the world down on people. You had told them.
Sure,
you
yeah,
had told them that to
certainly.
Kill others was
yes,
to give them life.
Yeah, exactly.
But you didn't expect them to go out and do this.
No. Wait, whoa. I don't live in anticipation, woman. I live on now.
I looked at him and I said, Charlie, they were so young.
She might have said that, and I might have been so stoned, I don't remember.
They said you asked, do you have any remorse?
Yeah, I did say that to him. I said, do you have any remorse for your actions? When you go to war against an enemy, you go to war for God and country, and you give your life to that cause.
So that night they were going out to fight the war.
They were going out to fight the war. If you're going to go to war and you're fighting your enemy and you kill him when he's afraid, you know, it's a bad omen, it's bad. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I walk a line.
You knew murder was going to take place and you weren't going to be there.
I don't think about murder.
Is that why you left?
No, that ain't why I left. I left. What? I don't know what I was thinking. I left because I left.
You knew nothing about it?
I didn't. No, I did not know.
They were acting for you on your instructions.
No.
And under your influence.
Well,
under your
maybe influenced, maybe influenced, and they might have thought it was my instructions. But I wasn't directing traffic, lady.
If you spit in my face and smack me in the mouth and throw me in solitary confinement for nothing, what do you think's going to happen when I get out of here? Maybe I haven't done enough. I might be ashamed of that, for not doing enough, for not giving enough, for not being more perceptive, for not being aware enough, for not understanding, for being stupid. maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people. Then I would have felt better. Then when I felt like I really offered society something. You've got it stuck in your brain that I murdered somebody. What do you want to call me a murderer for? I've never killed anyone. I don't need to kill anyone. I think it. I have it here.
Is Charlie Manson crazy?
Well, whatever that means. Sure, he's crazy as mad as a hatter. What difference does it make? You know, a long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy.